Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. Not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Speed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it, part 2. As previously stated, it is said in order to know where you are going, you have to know where you have been. Who is the black man, and from where did he come? Where is he headed? Does he really need to know his history? Can it uplift black people and propel them into the greatness of their ancestors? Their ancestors. If you do not know your history, this is from Provocative Thought. If you do not know your history, how can you know what you have been through? How life's experiences have impacted on your mental, psychological, spiritual, and social, political being. History is not simply knowing about ancient origins, but both ancient and contemporary origins, present origins, the then and the now. We exist in a historic era. We simply have to pay attention as history is unveiled by our search, discovery, and being. That's very important. Unity is far more precious than gold. Unity is far more precious than gold. Unity is far more precious than gold, silver, diamonds, and currency. They are all products of a unified effort to create a delusion of value and necessity that undermines the true value of these items and life-sustaining ideologies, resources, and practices. If you are divided in the mind, you are defeated in the mind. You will never rise from your state of defeat and will infect others by perpetuating a defeatist ideology. Unity requires connection. Black people are connected in a thousand ways, yet unification on a level that will raise them to be perpendicular appears rare. What happens if we learn from our history? What are some impairments to history? Ignorance, the state of not knowing, and disunity, the state of not being together, not working together, not being able to do things in unison. This guy, Edmund Burke, I like to quote these guys because they are guys that said, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Sir Winston Churchill said that. Edwin Burke said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Darlin Christensen said, we must always look forward, but we have to understand our history in order to not repeat the mistakes. In order to not repeat the mistakes, understand what we've done. There's nothing wrong with being critical of what we have done and taking a look at it and giving it some mental thought, this guy's saying. So, and what you've done in the past, the distant past, and, the current past. I have seen too many, this is from Mr. Christensen, I have seen too many instances where people continue to pursue wrong courses of action because they do not take the time to think critically about what has happened past. Nothing wrong with being a critical thinker. I know I said this 2 weeks ago. I didn't get a chance to share the rest of the information from the show. That's why we're back on today with this particular show. From PT, whitewashing. Whether you agree with the acts of imperialism perpetrated by European peoples or not, these men held remembering and learning from the past with high regard, so much that they destroyed and distorted the history of those Africans they encountered to shape the world's perception of those he forced into bondage and to justify or validate their enslavement. So they knew the value of history, of knowing your past, and they knew the value of taking it away from you. The perpetuation of spiritual, psychological, cultural and ancestral ignorance, that's that word I mentioned before, it's the first word, has had a profound, traumatic impact on the individual, relationships, family unit, community, and generations. It is necessary for the survival of man, men, civilizations to learn from the past. You must know the past or history in order to learn from it, to grow from it, and to free yourself from it. If you encounter, this is an example of learning from the past, it's very basic. If you encounter a vicious dog, this is from Provocative Thought, it bites you. The vicious dog bites you. You learn that it is not in your best interest to interact with this animal. The next time you encounter it, you avoid it. Defend yourself against it. That's simple. That's how learning from the past works. Right? So, in life, we learn from our past experiences so that we can enhance and perpetuate our survival, right? I'm just using a vicious dog as an example, because if that vicious, you go back that route that leads to that vicious dog, you could be chewed up by the dog, right? Okay, so that's very simple. Brainwashing. Images perpetuated by media outlets can influence the perception of how others view peoples of African descent. Negative images facilitate the development of negative images just as positive images facilitate the development of positive images. Just as positive images facilitate the development of positive images or powerful, intelligent, nurturing, and enlightened images. You are what you eat, mentally and biologically. If you systemically and repetitiously intoxicate, glorify people with negative images, you normalize negative behavior, form or change the value system of the people of that target population. The result is a population that adheres to a debased value system, perpetuating self-generation, deterioration, and destruction. This can be seen in their anti-life, spiritual, social, political, community, family, and individual life expressions and experiences. They learn and or accept as the base ideology or status, and that legacy is inherited by generations thereafter. So in some instances, we're inheriting our past, but it's not the best of us. It's like an eagle never knowing that he can fly or hunt, therefore never teaching his generations any better. So he walks to his destination and forages on the carcass of another predator's kill. He eventually becomes easy prey for the other predators, succumbing to his ignorance and incapacity. There are some things that simply should not be so. If only we did know who we are, from whence we came a long way, a long time ago. It is not enough to know just your history, because we do not live in a sterile environment. It is imperative to know the history of the people, of other people, and how their history or being impacted on mankind, your kind, or kin, or the planet. So you just can't center things around just knowing about yourself. You have to know about the people, the environment, everything around you. So history is not just your history, it's everybody's history. But tonight I'm focusing on a more positive aspect on histories of so-called African Americans, black people, and so forth nowadays. How has the cruel master taken his foot off your neck and placed your foot on the neck of your brother? It is not so much that we need to hate, but that we need to love ourselves and protect ourselves. Ignorance of who we are is no excuse. From the poet Noor again, my people dying for lack of knowledge, miseducated from the cradle to college and then some, well-fed, well-bred, and still dumb. That's a quote from the poet Noor. So black people come from something great, something powerful, something intelligent, something extraordinary. We have been and are everywhere. I am somebody. We are somebody. More precious than any stone. If colonization, imperialism, slavery, reconstruction, Jim Crow, segregation, systemic castration, agitation, elimination, and murder did not unite blacks, what will? People should not wait for someone to explore and teach them their history. It would be nice if the truth was taught in institutions of learning, but it seems whites and other ethnic groups have been fed the same fairy tale as blacks. Seek the truth and the food of your own past and feed it to your generations for generations to come. We are more than descendants of slaves and the survivors of one of the greatest Holocausts perpetrated on earth, and that is something in itself. We are visionaries, scientists, builders, leaders, explorers, healers, warriors, educators, inventors, nurturers, caregivers, intelligent, and much more. Let us remind each other of our glorious past to nurture our present and future. Let's take a quick look at what unity and knowing can give birth to. In the beginning, scientists, archaeologists, historians state the oldest civilizations are African or people of color. We're going to start from the not-so-distant past. See what what's going on with the black folks. I'm going to start with collective economics. Black Wall Street, or the Greenwood neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where in the early 20th century, African Americans created a self-sufficient prosperous business district. This is in the early 20th century, African Americans created a self-sufficient, prosperous business district. That's when segregation was just par for the course. The name was applied to more generally to districts of African American high economic activity. African American high economic activity back in the 1920s when they was lynching black folks, and black folks couldn't go certain places without getting possibly getting lynched or beaten or harassed. All right, you guys able to go many places now without more places without those circumstances. Of course, you're still being murdered on the street and things like that, but we're not having that conversation right now. But this was a time when the oppression was overt. And it was even legal in terms of segregation and things like that. So Africans worked mainly as servants in Tulsa, and where they developed their own society with its own economy. They worked as servants, developed their own society. They got together. They unified. Their condition helped them to unify. You understand? And, you know, I'm saying this because of the condition of so-called African Americans and blacks in the country now, and I'm just failing to see the unity, like where we should have more unity. We should look at these guys as examples, but I don't know how many people even know about Tulsa, and I don't know if we trust each other to do this or not. But this is a good example. Black businesses clustered on a strip a land that would become Greenwood in 1905 when African Americans acquired the land. Businesses included grocery store, barbershop, doctors, real estate agents opened their own businesses. Neighborhoods also had its own newspaper and schools. There you go. Educate your own and tell your people what's going on in your newspaper, right? Black Wall Street was a thriving community in Greenwood in the early 1900s, right? I think they said the dollar stayed in the community 19 times or something before it left. It was a ridiculous number. Also, people little known is Durham, Black Wall Street. Hold on, Kenny. The early 20s, I know this is your thing right here. In the early 20th century, Paris Street in Durham, North Carolina, was the hub of African-American business activity. This four-block district was known as Black Wall Street, a reference to the district of New York City. That is the home of the New York Stock Exchange and the nation's great financial firms. Again, some brothers got together, they worked together, and they created something economically. All I'm saying is these are good examples, but if you don't know about these things, then we don't even know that it's possible. Because if it was possible then, it's possible now. It's definitely possible now. We have a lot of millionaires, a lot more millionaires now than we had back then. We have a lot of people making a lot of money nowadays than we had back then. So I'm going to take the caller. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought.
What's up, Carlton?
What's up, brother?
How you doing this evening, man?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Talk about mistakes that we made. We made several mistakes in the past. And we do have to think for ourselves. We just because somebody is our hero doesn't mean that hero did not make some mistakes. For example, big mistakes. I think one of the major mistakes that affected us economically, socially, educationally, was integration. Now, I think that what you were saying about Black Wall Street is that we could have had. Can you imagine the millionaires we have now and the billionaires we have now and stayed in the Black community? Our community would be striving and flourishing. But the majority of our communities, Black communities across the United States. Integration, real, like Dr. King said at one of his last speeches, I hope I'm not leaving my people in a burning house. Well, the house is burning, and it's burning down fast. I think we should, we have to stop doing so much marching. Even though people tell me marching, get the word out, we have to start planning, coordinating, and we have so many different. I had somebody on the show this past Tuesday. I said, "Well, we got to bring people from different communities. We have conservatives, Republicans, we have militants, we have progressives, we have liberals, we have academics, we have corporate. We got to bring people to the table, all these thinkers to the table, and start hashing out." Plans. And I think it'll be so difficult now because we are so much embedded or integrated in the other culture lifestyle. We almost lost our lifestyle culture. Today we basically, and once I say our culture was thriving, but now it's so much integrated that we're more American than white folks. I mean, we're Americans, but I would say this sometimes, we're more white than white folks because we're so much integrated.
Assimilated.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. We have arrived. we finally arrived. We assimilated. We think like them. We act like them. And who said that they are right in every aspect of living? and thinking, whether it be politics. Look at our political structure now. Look at our political structure. You know, and like I had on the show Tuesday, the lesser of two evils. You know, the Democrat or Republican. You know, and I told him, I said, hey, one don't want us, and the other one take us for granted. You know, but by voting, the only reason why I'm voting is because of history. That's it. I know they're not going to do anything for us, but yet and still, we continue to make the same mistakes year in, year out, decade in, and decade out. Century in,
you know what?
And century out. Yeah.
The Greenwood, I'm sure Greenwood didn't get much done for them, but you see what happened, right? Durham, Greenwood. Right? They worked with what they had, right? And they got it, and they got something done. I mean, you have okay, why wait for somebody to do something for you? Create your own. They created their own business.
Carlton, they still don't want us. Only if it benefits them.
Oh, they didn't want the people in Tulsa either, right? There was segregation was the law back then, right?
You know what?
That was the law,
I'm afraid to tell you that I wish we were segregated now. To tell you the truth, maybe these black folks will start. I say this, I'm glad Trump is president. It's starting to make more blacks to start thinking, like, hey, we got to start doing something for ourselves. We got to start working together. We got, you know, we'll take from them and we'll take from them and build our own thing. You know, more and more African Americans, more black folks are starting to think like that. And that's what I thank Trump for. You know, to show folks that, hey, racism is alive. We still think of you as second-class citizens. Supremacy is in the White House. And before, it was political correctness. Before, was tolerance. Before, we got even academia coming out and saying, hey, I'm a supremacist. They marching against, you know, and that's supposed to be academia, you know, in Charlottesville. He was a college professor there, you know, so... It showed that America never ever went away when it comes to the black man, and we are starting to see that, and hopefully it's encouraging others to start working together. But still, we have many of us that are still on that kick of, hey, racism is over. You know, you got to do for self. And it's only one half.
Racism is over?
Well, you talk to the woman yourself. I mean, that time you came on the show.
Yeah.
You remember? And she said, hold on for a second. Yeah. So, a lot of people think like that. A lot of people think like that, man. And I'm of the one of the thinking of that, I'm still with the Marcus Garvey thinking, having your own land, purchasing your own land, building businesses, working with each other, dollar exchanging from one hand to another. You know, I'm not saying you can't do business outside your culture, but hey, take that money you earn from doing business with the other culture and bring it back to the community. You know, we could be a part of the global world, global economics, you know, but I feel that we have to start thinking towards those lines if our culture is going to continue to exist. Because I read one time, 2058 or 2060 what you know as black folks now won't be like that.
What's that mean?
I read an article one time that the way you know black folks, whether the way we look, music, entertainment, or culturally, you know, by 2058, if we continue along this road of integrating, black folks won't be black folks.
Okay, so they'll be totally assimilated outside of the skin
color. Totally. Even though we could sing opera, opera be our number one music probably. You know? We'd probably start dancing.
Not to
like
take
that.
Anything away from opera, but you're saying like soul music be gone, right? That's what you're basically saying.
Gone.
Right?
Gone. That's an example. Gone. You know, so that's just an example. We'll look at it. Who knew? And another mistake we did, leaving the neighborhood. Leaving. Once we got a position, once we got two quarters, you know, we left the neighborhood to go live with them. It benefited them.
Did they go live with them, or did they go live to a move to a neighborhood that had a certain type of
lifestyle?
You know, yeah, maybe. If I'm a millionaire, should I live in the ghetto where maybe if I leave my house, people might
Brother, in Harlem, there was a section called Stryver's Row. Eartha Kitt lived there. Harry Belafonte lived there. You know, all these movie stars, black movie stars, they could have lived downtown or in the village on 30th Street. You know, they could have lived in Midtown or downtown. Nah, Stryver's Row was part of Harlem. It was nothing to see Eartha Kitt walking down the block. It was nothing to see Adam Clayton Powell walking down the block.
Maybe folks trying to get away from the hood.
You talk about positive images. If I'm a kid, 12, 13 years old, and I see Hal Bell family walking down the block to the grocery store, yo. And now, only image we've seen, you know, is the working man. And no wrong being the working man. I'm a working man. Either working man or negative stereotype guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that brings it to, like, the image, you don't have to be a star to be a role model. You said that yourself. So role model could be just a person in a 12th grade, really.
Teacher.
Because I'm,
teachers live next door to you. You know, teachers live next door to you. Say, hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, your boy be acting up in my class. Well, look, I give you permission next time he act up. Black police officers. My God, like I told you that story, you know, one time. I would be stopped by a black police officer there, a white police officer any day of the week. That's three times on Sunday. That was a big, big, major mistake. Leave the neighborhood when you make it. Jackie Robinson lived in Brooklyn for years before he moved. For years. You know, so before he moved to Florida. For years. So, I mean, we had, in our neighborhoods, there was like segregated too, the have-nots, you know. Preachers lived in your neighborhood. Now they live, I don't know where they, I mean, yeah, we got certain black cities and everything. But, and there's a section of the black city where the millionaires live. That's cool, you know. And there's gated communities where black rich folks live. And that's fine, too.
Is it enough for them to live in a community?
But at least they are investing in other parts of that city that would
Is it enough for them to live in the community? Are you saying all they need to do is just live there? Just have your house in a black community? What does that do for black people? You're saying that's a role model.
I also said that's cool with black folks have their rich black folks have their own area, but at least they're investing in the city. At least they're building help to build schools. At least they're helping me start a particular mentoring program. For example, Steve Harvey got a beautiful mentoring program. Beautiful, you know, for boys and everything. So that's an example. You know, it's not just to live there, but if you, there's one thing about us. We've always been a giving people. And we be a part of a community, we're going to participate in that community. Trying to help build, rebuild the schools, you know. But hey, even black cities are starting to disappear because maybe the crime rate is too high, because of the gangs. The gangs are part every major city in the country. We got black gangs, Latino gangs, Asian gangs, white gangs, Irish gangs. So it might be a little bit much, you know. So hey, they
that is much when they're killing yourselves.
Yeah, they move to Beverly Hills, or they move to a more gated community where everybody, like Bel Air, you know. So yeah, I understand. I mean, I understand that too. But at least, man, I don't know the crime. That's a different subject. That's a different topic and everything. How can we stop this crime in our communities? Why is there so much crime in our communities where maybe the option is not affordable, you know, or maybe the positive images are not that much accessible? You know, that could be or maybe the educational system is really failing even in the cities that we do have left. You know, or reasons why.
Yeah, there are. It's multiple.
You know?
It's multiple reasons.
Multiple, right.
What about
right.
the fact
it's not
that
just one thing.
What
it's not one reason.
Make. Yeah, it's not a one reason thing. But what if what I can't work and make, I steal and take? What about that frame of mind?
That always been around.
All right, so you take
black
that.
Black folks ain't the only one that
people...
steals. Black folks ain't
no,
the only one
not,
that
steals. No, we're just talking about black people right now. We're not even implying that all the crime is in the black community because it's not. We know that the statistics don't even say that. White people do as much crime as blacks do. So there's a epidemic of homicide in the white community also.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that, but we're not, you know,
yeah.
Right now we're just focusing on black folks. It's, you know, it's February, and I'm kind of like trying to focus on the black community and at large, and which you have to bring in all the elements that impact on black community and understand that.
And that's another thing. Black hope, black history, you know, it's one thing you said something that was ironic. We should know about all history. It's depending who's writing it. You know, is it going to be someone that's objective? Yes. I think if not only should you know your history, you should know European history. You should know the different, you know, they're different Asians, you know, history. They have their own thinking, how they started their own society, how they affected mankind. The Arab world. Well, the Arab world, people don't know, the Arab world used to be part of Africa. You know, so.
Well, if I get farther along, you're going to find out that everything has, the black people have touched every part of this planet in ancient times. I'm talking about way before
European
civilization and in America and stuff like that. Everywhere. China, too.
Yeah.
Japan,
China
everywhere.
Too. The first
Philippines,
Buddha,
everywhere.
The first Buddha statue was black. People don't know that.
Right.
The first Buddha statue was black in China.
Right. The original Madonna. Jesus and Mary's dark.
The first three posts.
But what's all that mean? You know, not to get off the subject, but it seems like this whole thing about black and white and color and race, we really stuck on it. And race is a relatively new concept.
The European is the one that came up with that concept of black and white. The European is the one that started, the sociologists started the groupings. You're this part of group. You're that group. You're this group. And once you start having these groups, these different groups, that's where the competitiveness comes in. My group is better than your group. No, you're not. Your group is not better than my group. And there goes the beef. Some beef been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. So you have one big, large group, and there's a conflict, so they'll separate from the large group and start their own thing. So far as history goes, as far as – and that's the issue right there. When the Europeans started the groupings. Before the Europeans started the groupings, it was like who you are and who you're representing. What tribe you're from, or what family you're from, You know, everything was about family in ancient times. Yeah, so that's like I said, the Greeks started that grouping. Yeah, but that.
Okay, so back to the collective economics. So my point about Tulsa in Durham, right, is the time periods they lived. They lived in the midst of racial intimidation, murder, and systemic injustice, and
we
they thrived.
Still living that
right?
Now.
They lived back when they was calling you boy, right?
What they call you,
calling
80-year-old
men boy, right? Am I right?
Yeah, they call it thugs.
They was listening, huh?
They call it thugs now. They call it 80-year-old
right,
thugs
boy.
Now.
They was calling them, they don't call 80-year-old guys thugs. They call 80-year-old men boys back then. Boy. Grown men. Your father would be
I'm
called
talking about
boy.
Now. I'm talking about now.
Right. What I'm saying, but listen, these guys thrived under those conditions. Because you know what happened to we all know what happened to Tulsa. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't ready for the downside of being a successful black community in terms of being attacked. What I don't understand about them is that why weren't they prepared to be attacked like that? When Rosewood is a true story. When they accused a black man of doing something, right? And they burnt down Rosewood, right? So I don't understand why Tulsa wasn't better prepared for people to attack them.
Well, you got to remember, it was illegal. I don't know what started. That burnings. I bet you
airplanes dropping bombs. They dropped bombs on them, like the move thing. They dropped bombs on houses from airplanes. That's how they started. And I'm sure they probably had some Molotov cocktails stuff like that. But they dropped bombs on them. But
for
the thing is
reason,
that
they,
at least these people did unite. They had that concept about unity, and they was able to work together. I don't know what kind of problems they might have had in Tulsa and stuff like that, but it seems like whatever problems they had, they were able to thrive. And I heard that they were getting ready to knock the middleman out and deal directly with a resource right before they got burned down.
Well, that's intimidating. That is.
So why can't that happen now? Why can't that happen now?
Because we integrated so largely with the dominant culture. That's why we are invested. We are embedded each and every way. Each and every way. I mean, we can't even speak without asking for their permission. And another thing, I hate to say this, it might be a little intimidating. We talk a lot of smack and everything, but it might be a little intimidating. It's intimidating that hey, forget y'all. I'm going to do my own thing. We don't need you. We're going to buy ourselves. Now we got to pin on each other. And there's something that you said earlier about purchasing land. Can we trust each other? That is the number one financial question. It's like, do I trust my fellow black man? I don't know. You know, we still got that psychological change of slavery, that emotional change of slavery working in 2019, 2020. We still have some type of negative attitude towards each other, lack of trust towards each other. We might talk of you. Like the first word of Kwanzaa is emote unity. It means unity. Really? And you said collective economics. Can we get that trust factor back? You know, we trust each other at one time. In 2020, black folks really don't trust each other. Huh, I don't want to invest my money with that dude. I don't want to invest my money in his. Nah.
Well, that community is not worth salvaging. Because I heard a guy called and said the black community is not worth salvaging the first week I did this here. And so if you believe that the community is not salvageable, you won't invest in it.
But what does he mean by it's not worth salvaging? What is not worth salvaging? The people, the land, the buildings, what?
Hey, the community. The black community.
Yes,
the land
we are.
Is always salvageable.
Yes, we are.
Be a reason why they don't invest it. You said they don't trust. That maybe they don't even believe that the people are worth investing in. So, therefore, I'm not doing nothing for them.
There are a lot of blacks that think like that today. There are a lot of blacks that think like that today. And I don't know, is it because of the social issues, the social economical issues? They're unskilled, uneducated. All they do is have babies with different fathers. You know, the stereotypes.
That's going on outside of the black community also. So, I mean, that can't be. Could that be it? I mean, they could look at that they're uncultured or whatever, unethical, immoral. You can say that with anybody.
That's what they think. Dad, baby, daddy drama. You know, that's what they think. All they like to do is get stitches in here and nails the feet done. All they like to do is pregnate the girls and get on child support. you know what? Reason why a lot of guys are on child support is because when the young lady goes for any type of assistance, whether it's medical or anything like that, she got to put the father on child support. It is
cash,
by law.
Cash assistance.
And housing. And Medicaid. All housing, Medicaid, and cash assistance. Yes, all three. Yeah. In some states, all three.
I should know that, but I think it's definitely cash. You're going to court.
It's Medicaid.
And,
if you go
to any
social service agency, any government social service agency for any type of assistance, there is a session for child support.
Right. Okay. Well, that's after the fact, Kenny. That's why they're in court, but that's not why they have a child out of wedlock or anything like that. That don't explain that.
We know the explanation. Way, like that, since the beginning of time, so that's not the issue. The issue is why can't we invest in each other? You know, for example, you like to bring up these little simple examples. If I have a car. My car breaks down. There's two mechanics. One is owned by a black man. The other one is some more like AutoZone shit like that, right? Well, why I can't take my car to the black man? Because that black mechanic going to spend money at that store. That black man is going to spend money at the church. That black man going to buy sneakers for the dude, like a black dude, that owns a sneaker store. You know, that's how the money stays in the neighborhood. Simple stuff. Like, it starts out with me need a oil change, going to the brother. That brother takes that money, go to another black business. That black business take that money, goes, man, I'm telling you, that's simple. It sounds simple, but it is difficult for black folk to comprehend today in 2020.
How would they do it, Kenny? It's hardly any black stores in the community.
Huh?
You'd be How surprised. Would they do that? There's hardly any black stores in the community.
It depends what city you go to.
Well,
there's
Philadelphia, it's hardly any black. There's Latino stores. There's Chinese stores. Lots of them. Not too many black stores. Like in my neighborhood, all the stores used to be owned by black. First, Jewish, Italian, then black, and then Latino. So, I mean,
check this
and
out.
No
let's
big stores were owned by anybody black. Nothing big was owned by anybody black.
Let's take McDonald's. Let's take McDonald's. I just found this out, too. McDonald's, right? Not everything's owned, like, by McDonald's. There are individuals that own parts of McDonald's. You go to their classes, their school, and everything. You got to pay money to buy McDonald's. There are black folks that own a McDonald's restaurant. I didn't know that until a couple months ago.
I have a franchise?
Yes. You got to pump money into it, though, but you got to go to their school to find out how to make their burgers, their french fries, their McNuggets, their juice and everything. You got to pump. You got to pay for it. When you finish and you pass it and then you get certified, you own your own McDonald's.
Okay, well, he needs to put a sign outside that said black owned. For people that like McDonald's.
I think that's against policy.
I'm just being sarcastic. I'm just being sarcastic.
Oh.
No, I'm being crazy, that's all.
Oh.
Yeah, don't pay that no attention. I'm just sucking his job. You know. But look, my point I'm trying to make here is that it seems to me that when the black people are under direct duress, right? They seem to thrive better. I don't know. It seems like you said, maybe it's the assimilation and the materialism that's kind of taking people away from them. Use this for example. They had this thing about Gucci with this sweater. They asked Floyd Mayweather not to shop at Gucci. He said, man, I'm doing what I want to do, right? I'm rich. I do what I want to do. You don't tell me what to do. I'm going right in here. I think he laid $100,000. They mad at him because he didn't stick with the cause. You know what I'm saying? He didn't stick with the fight. You know, but my thing is, why were you buying Gucci stuff anyway? Now they talking about making their own stuff. Why don't you make your own stuff anyway?
Yeah.
Why are you buying? Why are you spending all your money in Gucci anyway? Did you really think Gucci had some kind of connection to you like that? Gucci makes
you
things
know
to sell.
Too, Carl. You want to know something, man? I'm going to tell you another reason why, man. Our people, I hate to say this, our people are being influenced by the wrong people. We're looking at certain people for the right direction, and they're not suiting us very well. Whether it be politicians, whether it be entertainers, whether it be spiritual leaders, whether it be, it seems like we're being led astray.
Our leaders, or who you mean? Who are you talking about now? You're talking about black folks leading black folks astray, or Europeans leading white black
folks?
No,
black folks. I'm talking that. I keep it.
Oh, black
I keep
folks.
It on,
okay.
Because you know, this is 2020. I keep on saying 2020 because that's the next decade, right? This decade is almost over. We should know better by now. Maybe we didn't know better in the 1930s. Well, maybe we didn't know better in the 40s. You know, but we know, maybe we didn't know better in the 60s. But we know better now. Like you said earlier, running from your mistakes. We don't, some of these black folks that get the attention, I'm not calling no names out, some of the black folks that get the attention don't need the status quo. We don't need to be listened to. There are alternative voices that we need to pay attention to that we're not paying attention to, and their message seems to be on point. I'm sorry. And we got to stop. Look at that's enough. We got to stop. Hey, forgot about media. We got to stop looking at the media.
Learning from the media, learning from the media. We have to stop learning from taking
right.
the media's perception as, you know, the gospel truth, or, you know, the, just
yeah.
this is it. This is the way it is. You know, that's the
yeah.
media. You want to find
yeah.
something out there.
See, because that's a big elephant in the room, you know, elephant in the room. And their cousin, social media, you know, because even though it's social media, we see these other alternative voices, but we also could get the negative alternative voices too, you know. So we gotta, like you said, we gotta start thinking critically. We gotta become critically thinkers. Just because the media put this face in front of us, that this doesn't mean that's the gospel. It doesn't mean that. Malcolm made mistakes. He's my hero. Malcolm X made a mistake.
Well, Malcolm evolved, right? He was first with
yeah,
the Nation
evolved,
of Islam, right?
But you know what, Carl? We got to stop airing our dirty laundry, you know? You know, Elijah Muhammad did so many good things for brothers coming out of prison, you know?
Right.
And he was just starting to get traditional black folks, I should say, I'm going to call them, traditional black folks to join them. No.
Right.
Boy, your guy, he's Trump. He wait. He building a business in the black neighborhood, no fish stores, no bakeries, no shirt manufacturers where they make the hats and everything. He was putting money where his mouth is and everything. All right. He impregnated some girls. Okay. That was the wrong thing. All right, especially he being married, you know, and they being underage, you know. Well, Malcolm,
I think that was more part of Malcolm X's relationship with him and you know, how he felt about him before he had that information.
He was disappointed,
right.
But just one thing. Heroes are people. They don't fly. They don't go in the ocean and swim for 3 hours, you know, to another part of the world. They don't burn or anything like that. You know, I mean, they're people. They're men and women. They bleed
right.
just like me. They breathe the air
right.
just like me.
Right.
You know?
That doesn't diminish
yes,
the other
look,
things that he did. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. Look all the positive you did around this country during that time period for a long time. Now, where
right.
he got his start from, that's a different story. But at least where he got his start from, he evolved. They look, this is how we got to do it. You know, we're going to test this. And his testing was magnificent. You know, I mean, yes, it was militant, which we needed at the time period. But, will you be disappointed their pastor, when they find out the pastor like little boys and everything. Everybody leave the church, but the man helped senior citizens, the man helped run away.
They're
going to
leave the church on that one. He's out. A little boys, I think that's going to be a great problem. Because that's
yeah.
viewed as being a monster.
Yeah, but you know, Every person.
Nobody's gonna trust
world.
That guy. You got you send your son to him. You gonna send your kid. You gonna send your 10-year-old to talk to him.
Nah. What I'm saying. What I'm trying to say. Every person has their fault. I mean, that was a way out example.
That was way out.
Like,
yeah, that was way out.
I should say. Maybe the pastor used drugs.
Something like that. Right.
Maybe
the pastor
got caught with a prostitute. Okay.
Right.
I mean, hey.
Jimmy Swagger did something
wow.
like that. Didn't he do some kind of thing like that? Voyeurism
Who?
Or something? Jimmy Swagger. He was like into like voyeurism or something.
Yeah, he went. No. He got caught with a prostitute.
Oh,
yeah,
caught with a prostitute.
He got on TV. I have sinned.
He
got busted with a prostitute, you know?
But he's back, though.
But he's a man, you know? Or he impregnated another woman in his church. He committed adultery, you know?
What?
In the church, that's a no-no. That is a big no-no. But, hey, he's a man. And he thinks, and sometimes he will think with his other head. Literally.
Okay. So our leaders aren't perfect. I get part. You know what I'm saying? But there's a certain I think there's a line to things you could do and people trust you. You agree with that?
Say that again.
Hello? There's a line. There's a line as to what the things you can do, right? And people will trust you.
With black folks, it's different. When you get up into that microphone and say, I claim to be your leader, and this is what we got to do, and you manifest it, right? You manifest it. You can't do no wrong. You better not do no wrong.
Well, Malcolm X didn't do that. Malcolm X was a criminal. He was a criminal, incarcerated.
Well, that was before. But that was before he became a leader. I'll talk about
right.
After
I'm saying,
you
but he wasn't a perfect leader from the beginning.
No, I don't know. He was a good organizer. He was a great organizer.
I'm saying when he changed his life, he did change. As far as the FBI is concerned, they said he was a saint compared to Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, he was not a perfect. Then you're saying not a perfect leader. He wasn't a perfect leader, and we shouldn't expect our leaders to be perfect. We should expect them to be true to the cause.
Yes.
Now,
right.
We don't need leaders selling
there
us out.
There you
like
go.
You said something
there
about
you go.
Misleading us. Those guys we don't need. But we need you to be
right.
true to the cause. True
the
to
cause.
Our people.
Right.
So we don't need you abusing our people. We don't need guys as pedophiles abusing our people, traumatizing our young warriors. We don't need that.
Yeah. Right. If you love women, you love women. You know what I mean? Because Martin said they say Martin loved women. you know? But
he's not a rapist.
He's not a rapist. And he's not one of those.
That's different.
What they're doing today, what the Me Too movement saying today, he don't grab ass and he don't sexually assault women. You know?
Right.
I mean, women be lining up to give it to him. You know?
And you know, I'm saying this about just because you've done something wrong doesn't mean you can't do something right. I'm going to say that. I'm not saying that you can't absolutely do something right. Don't get me wrong when I say that. It's just that, you know, certain crimes, people are not going to trust you.
That's not good. Right. And then I think they're all the moral crimes. And people going to judge you and whatnot. And people know, but they'll turn their head and everything because you're doing right so much by the community. You know, so you got to look at that aspect, too. You know, of course, there's no perfect people. But I'm talking about what you talk about, the message, the doing, the organizing, the planning, you know. I'm a cusser. I mean, I don't cuss on my show, but I'm a cusser and everything. And people may not like that. People may not like that in my social life, me being a cusser. But that's who I am. Well, I'm trying to
But that doesn't mean you don't have anything to deliver. That don't mean you don't have a message to deliver. You ever hear the last poet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they had a message to deliver, and it was cussing all through that poetry.
Right. Yeah, so, but I'm still trying to contribute to my with my own fashion the only way I know. You know. So and I think
Kenny.
Black folks got to get off their high horse.
Or the low horse.
Stop believing.
Or the no horse.
The low horse, yeah. Stop believing what they see on TV, the people they put in front of us. Anybody they put in front of us, man, I look at it with one eye. I look at it with one eye. I do my own research. Do your research. But I'm telling you, Carlton, and this is something I've been expressing for many, many years. We got to have complete. I mean, yes, you could do business outside your culture. You could do business outside your culture, you know, but you got to bring it back to the community. We need our own.
Well,
we have
I'm
to
in
work
agreement with that,
own,
Kenny. We need to work together.
We got
to
work our own
issues.
We got some mission. And you know what? Let's take the Japanese. Japanese own culture had two atomic bombs dropped on them, right? They're damn near with baby nuclear. I call them baby nuclear bombs, right? Now they're the most technical, technology, financial power in the world, right? They did do all that marching. They did throw, beating their chests with fists. They're throwing their fists. You know, they get quietly in the back rooms and everything. They coordinate, they plan, they invest in each other. And look at them now. You cannot look at when it comes to science and technology, one of them was always getting the wars. Same with the Hasidic Jews, you know, they don't parade and everything like that. They do their business. They look. Let's say I got a glass company. I'm going high, and I need my shipment ships somewhere. Guess what? Guess what trucker company I'm going to hire? A Jewish company.
My company.
You know, you know, they make everything. Parts, airplane parts, they got their own school bus system in Brooklyn. You know how hard it is to get your own school bus system? They got their own hospital. One of them find the Hasidic Jews in Brooklyn. The Hasidic Jews.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, they've been in the trenches a long time, though. They had a head start.
Yeah.
But that's no excuse. No. I'm not even using that as an excuse. I just told you about Tulsa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tulsa and Durham, right? So I'm not using that as an excuse, but
guess what, Carl? They might have a head start, but they never got off the path. It was about film. And check this out. Ain't nobody shooting them down. Ain't nobody shooting no Japanese kid down. They can wear their hat backwards. Their kids wear their hat backwards. No kids be doing their skates. Kids be doing all the Xavier's black kids. They not getting shot down. Because of the economic power that they possess. You see, one thing about the Europeans, they respect economic power. We just got consumer power. Huh?
Okay. Because look, these Tulsa didn't have economic power. They had economic unity, which created power in their community, which gave them economic power. But in terms of shaking and moving, and it, like we talking about the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilt, they don't have that kind of. They didn't economic power.
No,
they didn't have
Who wants to be? Who wants to hang out with them anyway? You know, don't know we can have that type of wealth, but that wealth belong to us. That wealth belongs to us. You get what I'm saying? We can have that wealth, but it belongs to us. Now we got our university. Our university don't have to go broke. We don't have to rely on the government for grants and stuff. We supply our own universities around the world. Around the world.
Okay.
Hey, man.
All right, so.
I got to go.
All right, Kenny. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Hey. I'm sorry to take up the whole, you know, the
That's
all
right. We're on the 9:30. We good, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. I was
going to 9:30. Oh, everybody going 90 minutes now, huh? I'm still staying to 60 minutes. I'm not that long-winded like y'all. All right, man.
All right, bro.
Have a good one. All right. Peace.
You too. All right, so, you know, collective economics is very important. You know, it seems to me that historically we thrived when we were under more oppression and tyranny in this country. And we had the Black Panther parties. They're one of the first organizations to be concerned about as we have, like, today we have Black Lives Matter. These guys are a little more militant than Black Lives Matter. These guys are self-defense. Black Panther Party is self-defense. In the 60s, black folks made a serious attempt at unifying, defending the community. Being black was not offensive, but something to be proud of, something to protect, something to love. Black people developed a sense of unity and brother and sisterhood, demanding to be treated with dignity and respect. They demanded an end to police brutality and equality under the law and social injustice. Images of the Black Panther Party standing against these injustices gave rise to their numbers. People joined and spread. People from different ethnic backgrounds supported the Black Panther Party also. The Panthers provided strong, positive images of the black community. They started the breakfast program for children. Now, depending on what side of the fence you want, whether or not the Panthers represent a defensive mechanism or an offensive mechanism. So if you're the person that's perpetrating tyranny in the community, you might view the Panthers as being offensive. That would be offensive to you. But if you are being defended from tyranny, the Black Panthers would be protectors of your community, of you. So the need arose due to police brutality and political systemic injustice to black folks in this country. And that's the forerunner. I'm not even saying the forerunner, but that was before Black Lives Matter. Black Lives mattered back here in the 60s, and they always did matter. But this was a group that took, one of the groups that took action, immediate action and direct action against police brutality. Of the, in this case, started with Huey P. Newton, Bobby Seale, and it's about maybe four other brothers in Oakland. So we also have, as the brother mentioned, the Nation of Islam. We have Elijah Muhammad, founder of the Nation of Islam in America. Though the Nation of Islam, brothers and sisters through the Nation of Islam, brothers and sisters are able to develop spiritually and emotionally. Malcolm X rose to ranks in the Nation of Islam from the streets, recruiting many into the ranks of the nation. The Nation of Islam provided social order, strong positive images of blacks in the community. Now, some people debate the nature of the Nation of Islam, but they're not a hate group. Malcolm X came from the Nation of Islam, right? He's a civil rights, human rights, political rights activist, spoke out against police brutality and inequality under the law and social injustice perpetrated against blacks in America. Malcolm X provided strong and positive images of a black man. He went from being a criminal, a man that was incarcerated, I think it was a pimp or something, whatever he was, to being the guy that we know to be Malcolm X. FBI say he was a saint compared to Martin Luther King, and I'm not trying to shoot Martin Luther King down either. He formed his own Islamic sect after his pilgrimage to Mecca. He declared our right on earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, on this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary. That's Malcolm X. Then we have Martin Luther King, spearheaded the civil rights movement and boycott and bus boycotts in the South due to the systemic injustice of black people in this country. This group practices nonviolence during a time when violence was perpetrated against black people at will. Here we have blacks standing together against police brutality, inequality under the law, and social injustice in the 60s again. I mean, what does it take for us to see that we need to be together? He's Martin Luther King founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He had that slogan. It's not burn, baby, burn, but learn, baby. But learn, baby, learn, so that you can earn, baby, earn. So that's Martin Luther King looking at economics and unity in economics. All right? NAACP, Association for the Advancement of Colored People, is still in existence. Founded in 1909, the NAACP planned protests and lobbied politicians. Most famously, the group pursued lawsuits challenging the Jim Crow system, you know, the Scottsboro Boys and all that stuff. So these guys were helping these guys out. We have Marcus Garvey. This is from the History Channel. Garvey was a Jamaican-born black nationalist and leader of the Pan-African movement. That's saying all Africans unite, right? Wish they didn't, but it sure would have been nice. Which sought to unify and connect people of African descent worldwide. In the United States, he was a noted civil rights activist who founded the Negro World newspaper, Us Talking to Us, right? A shipping company called Black Star Line and the Universal Negro Improvement Association. Us for Us, right? For Us, by Us, for Us, right? A fraternal organization of black nationalists. As a group, they advocated for a separate but equal status for persons of African and ancestry. Since white folks didn't want black people in their sphere, so to speak, in their communities, I said, all right, just give us what we need, right? And we off to the races, right? And as such, they sought to establish independent black states around the world, notably in Liberia on the west coast of Africa. That's the strong stuff right there. That's not racism. That's people sticking together, all right? That's Congress on Racial Equality, founded in 1942, co-established in disruptive, specialized in disruptive protests such as sit-ins and pickets. They provided the foundation for much of the activism of the 60s. SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, founded in 1960. SNCC helped organize young activists involved in sit-ins and other disruptive actions. They became an inspiration for the other student groups like Students for a Democratic Society in the 60s. Black Lives Matter, that's the presently today, and that's self-explanatory. That's a direct result of the, that's Elisa Garza, a direct response to the police brutality and murder of black males, disproportionate murder of black males in the community, unarmed, especially in the black community. We had music back then, but inspired us. I hear a lot of brothers complain about the music today, musicians and non-musicians. We had music back in the day. We had James Brown saying, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." Inspired people of color to be proud of their heritage, physical attributes, and culture. In the 60s, positive self-esteem is crucial to positive thinking. Positive thinking is crucial to positive being. Positive being is crucial to positive doing. We had the Last Poets. We mentioned them. They had a gritty poetic message about the internal and external struggles of the black community, encourage blacks to change, unite, and seek freedom. To thy own self be true. Better to die for a cause than just because. You know, we had Gil Scott Heron. He reminds people of color of their struggle, their internal and external obstacles, the suffering and need to change. The revolution will not be televised. That's my theme song, y'all. Spoke to the need for a conscious explosion of unity and self-love, direction, black power, and an end to police brutality, inequality under the law, and social injustice perpetrated against blacks in America. public enemy. These are the new generation, the young boys, not young now, but as a revolutionary rap group, inspired people of color to fight the power of injustice, degradation, demonization of the black man, all oppressed people in the 1980s, Self-Destruction, a compilation rap song warning the black community and youth of the danger of anti-life ideology and lifestyles. Did anybody even listen to that song? Images are very important. The image you and the image that is created in the mind can have a negative or positive effect on an individual, family, community, or people. Fact is, blacks have a very important origin of world history. The distant past. From urban intellectuals on Forest Park's Hannibal Barca is often described as the greatest military general in history. The Second Punic War, when he marched an army which included war elephants from Iberia over the Pyrenees and the Alps into Italy. Hannibal occupied much of Italy for 15 years but was unable to march on Rome. As commander-in-chief in the Carthaginian army, he is well known for his strategy in the Punic War. The Punic Wars went on, I think, for 500 years. That was back and forth thing between North Africa and Europe, where the first major battle of the Second Punic War in December of 218 BC, Rome was defeated by Hannibal's army with over 10,000 casualties. When he came over the Alps with over 50,000 infantry, 9,000 cavalry, and 37 elephants to attack Rome on their turf. Hannibal was a Carthaginian person. They were Phoenician, Semitic people. Phoenician means dark skin. That's what this brother's saying. In history, Carthage and Rome. First Punic War was 264 to 241 BC. Second Punic War, 218 to 201 BC. Third Punic War, 149 to 146 BC, from the New York Times. A single migration from Africa populated the world, studies find, by Carl Zimmer. By Garaki Shingu from Global Resource says, contrary to popular belief, African and African-American history did not start with slavery in the New World. An overwhelming body of new evidence is emerging that proves that Africans had frequently sailed across the Atlantic to the Americas thousands of years before Columbus and indeed before Christ. The great ancient civilizations of Egypt and West Africa traveled to the Americas. That's Egypt and West Africa, the great civilizations, y'all. The great civilizations of Egypt and West Africa traveled to the Americas, contributing immensely to early American civilization, importing the art of pyramid building, political systems, and religious practices, as well as mathematics, writings, and sophisticated calendar. You understand that? Columbus suggested that black Africans preceded him to the new world. In his journal of the Second Voyage, Columbus wrote that when he reached Haiti, then labeled Hispaniola, the native people told him that black-skinned people had come from the south and southeast in ships trading in gold, tip metal, spears. Africans from Guyana. I don't know how to say that, but G-U-I-N-E-A. So the first documented instances of African sailing and settlement in the Americas were black Egyptians led by King Ramses III during the 19th dynasty in 1292 BC. In fact, in 445 BC, the Greek historian Herodotus wrote of the ancient Egyptian pharaoh's great seafaring and navigational skills. Further, concrete evidence noted by Dr. Inhotep and largely ignored by Eurocentric archaeologists includes Egyptian artifacts found across North America from the Algonquin writings of the East Coast to the artifacts and Egyptian place names in the Grand Canyon. That's North America, y'all. So The brothers was here a long time ago. Your ancestors, which would place people of African descent here long before Europeans and the Mongols. All right, so I'm going to go right to the, they said the first inhabitants of Asia were black. There's not much time left, so I'm just going to skim through these here. And everywhere you name, they say the first inhabitants were of darker hue. Oh, we have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello? Hello.
Hey, is that me?
Yes, you.
You hear
brother.
Me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how you doing, Carlo?
All
yeah,
right,
I was just
going to
say, yeah, we got distracted, our community. We was kind of like on our way, and then that whole drug thing just kind of like took the rug from under us, you know?
Oh, okay.
And
they dropped the bomb on
you know, us, just like
bomb.
You were saying. Yeah. And it seemed like we was kind of trying to make a comeback with the rap. You can hear it coming out with the, like you were saying, the self-destruction, all the constructive type of rap and everything. Then, boom, mm-hmm. that got yanked out, too. That went away, and everybody wanted to be a gangster. And that's where we are now. Everything's about being a gangster and being super slick and everything like that. And that's kind of like the culture everybody into because they're embracing the street so much. It's
anti-life.
Like they're not even a part of this. Right. They're not even a part of the street, and they're trying to keep up this street code, not because they're actually even under threat. Like, if I witness something and I'm like, oh, I want to say nothing, I won't get involved because they might try to back. They might try to come back and kill me. That's for real. And, you know, that's something that we got to deal with, right? But when people are going like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't want to say nothing because of the street code, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something different. You know what I mean? It's not even, you're not even
right.
under threat. You're just like trying to keep up to this code that you're not even a part of. You know what I mean? You go to work and, you know, there is no threat. There's actually literally no threat from anybody retaliating against you, but because you want to be a part
seconds,
of this code.
Q.
You're not going to say anything. I'm just going to say we got to get our head out of that. We got to get back on track. Or our community is going to, you know, just like you said, nobody's investing in us. That's it.
All right, Q, thanks for calling in. All right, I just want to say one last thing. The first Californians, Black Nation, the Californians. All right, I want to thank everybody for calling in, everybody for listening in. And remember, each one reach one, each one teach one.
Peace. You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies and Hooterville Junctions will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.